Welcome to Process Breakdown, where we get proven and successful entrepreneurs to reveal step by step what's currently working behind the scenes in their businesses. Sit back, relax, and take notes as you discover how today's guest has been able to systematize their entire business so that it runs successfully without their constant involvement, like a well-oiled machine on overdrive. And here is your host.
Hi, my name is Owen McGab and AO, and welcome to episode 67 of the Process Breakdown podcast. In this interview, you will discover how to empower your employees to take ownership of their jobs so that you can focus on growing your business. My guest today shares how she was able to help her employees come up with a set of values which became the foundation to her systematized business. She also reveals how she took inspiration from Disney and built a business that not only runs smoothly without her constant involvement, but also predictably delivers a wow experience to her customers. You will find out how when you listen to this interview. Before we get into the interview, I want to invite you to this week's Sweet Process Live webinar training event. It is called The 4 Most Important Steps to Systematize Your Rapidly Growing Company So It Runs Without You Successfully and How to Stop Being the Bottleneck. I will be hosting it live on Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. It is going to be a great opportunity for you to get all your questions answered by me. To join the webinar, go to sweetprocess.com/webinar. Again, that is sweetprocess.com/webinar. And webinar is W-E-B-I-N-A-R. Once again, it is the 4 most important steps to systematize your rapidly growing company so it runs without you successfully and how to stop being the bottleneck. It happens live on Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and I am excited to see you there. My guest today is Paula Bakke, and she is the owner and founder of Dancing Mind. Paula, did I pronounce your last name correctly?
Yes, you did, Owen. Thanks. Thank you very much for having me in your show.
And Paula, welcome to the show. So this interview, this podcast is all about getting entrepreneurs like yourself who've been able to systematize their business so it runs successfully without them. And we want to learn how you've been able to do that. So starting out, you know, what are some mind-blowing results that you now experience as a result of going through that process of systematizing and automating your business?
Sure. The first and foremost thing is that we started from having absolutely no students. We had students, and we today have close to about 600, you know, members enrolled in our community.
That's people awesome. Coming. From 0 to 600 students. That is awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm curious too. How is your company being transformed as a result of, you know, systematizing the business?
Well, the most important thing is that, you know, I'm not the center of the business. I don't have to do every single thing that we do here. It would be literally impossible to do every single thing in a business that generates about $1.3 million a year.
Awesome.
So that's number one. And the number two is that the more I systematize, you know, the freer I am to do other things that are important for the business so that we can grow.
Yeah. And you mentioned something about how you, as a result of systematizing the business, now you've empowered others to become leaders. Talk about that.
Yes. And that's very important because, you know, as businesses grows, you don't want to be the only leader in the company. Entrepreneurs have to be very aware that it's important to have other leaders within their companies. So one of the most important benefits is that we're able to speak the same language, and therefore, you know, I have other leaders. You know, we're creating other leaders here in the company as well.
And I think during the pre-interview, you mentioned how the leaders now that you're creating, having in the company, they now feel like they have a piece of the pie. And they're free to create as well. Talk about that.
Yes, because if they, you know, when I delegate them into something, you know, they understand where we're going. They understand the vision. So now they're free to attack that as if it was theirs as well. So they feel like they have more ownership in the business as well. And, you know, that is really awesome because it increases productivity, it creates better results, it creates a very fertile, you know, soil for other things to happen in the business.
Awesome. So how has your personal life been transformed as a result of systematizing the business?
Well, you know, my business is a 7-day business. We open here, you know, Monday through Sunday. And we start at 6 a.m. and we go all the way until 10 p.m. And the number one thing is that I don't have to be here all of those hours.
So wow, that's awesome.
Can come and, you know, they know what they're going to do. You know, we have a system. We have a way for them to deliver the experience that the customers want from us. You know, the experience, more the experience that we promise to our customers. So I'm a little bit more free to create, you know, other ideas for the business and, you know, kind of run the show behind the scenes, be the mastermind behind the business, which is more important than me being, you know, the one single person doing every single thing. I don't feel like I'm in the rat wheel per se. I'm more outside of that wheel, you know, kind of trying to create more and better ideas so that we can serve our customers better.
And since you have, you know, systems in place in your business that allows it to run without you, I'm just curious, what has been the longest time you've been away from the business?
I think the longest time that I was away from the business, it was about 3 weeks.
Awesome.
My husband and I took a trip to Greece and I was able to stay away from the business. But, you know, I take vacations on a regular basis. But it kind of goes with the flow because as we expand, you know, there are higher demands. But, you know, that's demands that I self-impose, mm-hmm. or, you know, demands that I cannot control.
And the reason why I even ask that is the reality is a lot of business owners cannot even take one day away from the business. But because you have systematized this, and we're going to talk about how you did that, that's why you're able to, you know, pick and choose when you work and so on and so forth. So just so the listener gets some context about what your business is all about, what exactly does your company do and what big pain do you solve for your customers?
Sure. So we are a mind body boutique fitness center here located in Falls Church, Virginia, and we teach yoga, CrossFit, and cycle. But the most important thing is that we really create an experience for folks who come in to our doors in which they feel part of a bigger and larger community of people that are in the same mindset.
Yeah, so a community of people, health-focused minded people that want to get healthy and stuff like that.
Yeah, healthy and live lives, you know, a little better. And, you know, they want to create something good for themselves, you know,
awesome.
Either for themselves personally, or they want to create something good for other people in their lives.
So how many full-time employees and maybe part-time employees do you have? I'm just curious.
Could you repeat that?
How many
employees?
How many full-time employees and possibly part-time employees as well?
Sure. So I have 4 full-time employees and about 35 to 40 part-time employees.
And is the company profitable? You know, what was last year annual revenue and probably what you expect to do this year?
Yeah, we did about $1.3 million last year. It was a 30% growth.
Congratulations.
Yeah, and we are shooting for about $1.6 million this year. And yes, we're profitable.
That's awesome. And so we've talked about how, you know, where the business is right now in terms of the fact that it's systematized, can run without you. And so let's go back to, you know, take us back to when the business was not systematized and automated like it is now. What was wrong with it at that time?
Sure. Well, the first thing that it was impacted was the quality of the experience that our members, that we were delivering to our members.
Mm-hmm.
So that quality was impacted because there was so much room left for interpretation, either behind the scenes with employees, you know, communicating to themselves, or in the front of the room on what they were creating. Because a lot of what we do is, you know, right there in front of the customer, where we're passing a message to anywhere from like 30 people all the way sometimes to like 60 people. So.
Yeah.
So that leaves a lot of room for interpretation.
And I can see how that is very important because the type of business you have is all about creating an experience for your customers, right? And so if the employees don't have a unified voice on how things should be, then the customer can come today and have one experience and come tomorrow and have a different experience.
Correct. And that really affects people, because then we don't have any way to measure what we're delivering. There's no, you know, real result that we're creating for people. In addition to that, you know, it becomes that the, you know, customers are coming here for an instructor rather than coming here for the company, for the brand.
Oh,
for
yeah.
What the brand is delivering to them. And we, you know, I knew that that had to stop.
Yeah. You also mentioned that this issue, there was also an issue with a lot of confusion for the employees. Talk about that.
For sure. So when we didn't have any systems, what happens is that there's just a lot of room for confusion. People didn't know what we were doing, how we were doing, you know. So it created a lot of confusion, and more importantly, we wasted a lot of time with that as well. In a way, there was so much gray area that it was very difficult to manage, you know, those employees at the time.
And back when the business was not systematized, do you remember what was the lowest point? Describe how bad it got.
Well, it got so bad that, you know, my voice felt, you know, my voice and my vision for the company was being challenged. And it felt very difficult to put that into action. So I really felt like throwing the towel down and saying that's enough.
Was being challenged by the staff, or I'm curious.
The staff, yes, especially at the time, you know, I was being challenged by the staff in place. So it was just difficult to, because we had so many people with different views of what we were doing. But even the customers, you know, it's like, no, but I like it this way. No, I like it that way, rather than, no, this is the way we do things, right?
Yeah.
So, and that creates for so much more confusion, so much more work. And it was very difficult.
I think during the pre-interview, you also mentioned how not having systems in place also made you hire employees that didn't fit with what you guys were trying to do.
Absolutely. Because we didn't have a system, then we were just hiring people in. We didn't have a process to what type of people we were looking for. We didn't know what kind of values we were looking for them to have. When they showed up to work, we didn't have, you know, proper interview processes. We didn't have standardized tests, you know, that would address, you know, their personalities and behaviors to see if they would inside of the company, you know, things like this that, you know, when you do take those steps, they put stop gates in place. They're, you know, they act like stop gates in place and stop you from hiring that person that could potentially be detrimental to the company culture.
During the pre-interview, you mentioned how at that point you felt sometimes like closing down, and you said you felt lonely. Talk about that.
Yeah, and that's exactly, you know, when I was like thinking to myself, you know, this is enough. I really felt an entrepreneur is often lonely, but when you're like in a sea of other people, you know, trying to exercise their own ideas about what it is that you do, and you're not, you know, your voice is not being heard. So it felt like a huge, you know, I was spending so much time and so much effort trying to move things forward, like trying to implement our vision, that, you know, it was a very difficult time.
Wow. And so back then, you know, when was your breaking point? Do you remember when you realized that you needed to systematize and automate your business? What exactly happened?
Well, you know, I'm that type of person that it's like, okay, I had two choices. One, you know, I can close the doors now, or two, if I don't close the doors, you know, we're going to have to change. And, you know, the answer was, you know, I'm not closing doors and we're going to change. So I went out to seek, you know, what was it that I had to do to change things. And that's when we started to address, you know, creating a new, you know, I want people to understand what I wanted and why I want it. And I wanted that to be very clear. So it was almost like we were starting the company again at that
point. You mentioned during the pre-interview about saying that, you know, as business owners, you know, sometimes we're left making not so politically correct decisions, but we still have to make decisions anyway. Can you talk about that? What did you mean?
Well, you have to, you know, in the process of saying, okay, we're going to change, this is not going well and we're going to have to change. Obviously, you have to, you know, put your stake down and say, we're going to change. And some people will say, okay, lead me. And then some people will say, no, you know, I don't want to be led. I'm going to go somewhere else. And at that point, you have to make that are so easy decisions to be made, but that are the right ones to be made because it's for the better of the company. And, you know, so, you know, letting go of some people, you know, making, you know, asking people to do things that, you know, they don't want to do and having them follow a process, you know, people naturally resist change.
Yeah.
So as an entrepreneur, especially when you're implementing a system, it's very important to see it through and not give in.
Yeah. So what was, you know, back then, what was the first step you took to systematize your business?
We addressed our mission. We clearly addressed our mission. We went back. I went back to the drawing board and I spent days and weeks really addressing our mission. And I wanted to make the mission very easy and very clear. I wanted the mission to stand on its own and that people and wanted to make it in a, to make it,
easy for people to memorize, right?
Yeah, easy for people to memorize it, but almost as if, you know, I wanted to have enough passion that it moved people forward.
Do you remember what you made the mission so that when it was memorable, what was it?
Our mission is to, you want me to tell you our mission? So
yeah, go ahead. That way the listener know what you did.
Sure. So our mission can be stated, it's one sentence. Our mission is to inspire and empower individuals to experience new possibilities and transform their lives.
Awesome. And so going ahead with the story, so you came up with a clear mission that you want them to be able to memorize. And you said something about how, it was one sentence where basically people can remember it and it would be enough reason for them to move forward. So what was the second step you took to systematize the business?
Yeah, so when I felt that, yes, now we have a mission, so I addressed our values. So we put our values down and I knew that, you know, I couldn't really just come up with those values by myself. It had to be created from the employees themselves. Mm-hmm. But I had to be a participant in that meeting so that I could guide the values, the company's values, to where I kind of wanted the values to go, right? I was I am part of the community too. So we addressed our values. So I gathered a group of employees that had been with me and employees that I knew were passionate about the company as well.
Yeah.
And those employees, I also knew that they were strong, they were smart, they had high standards, and that if I said anything, they would challenge me. So I got those employees, and we got in a room literally for like, we closed ourselves in a room for like 2 or 3 days, and we, you know, turned the phones off, and we went to work.
Wow.
And we came out of that room with 10 values. And, you know, now we even have an acronym for our values.
Can you share that with the listener?
Our values? Yes. Oh my goodness. You're challenging me here.
So, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I was wondering if you just had it handy.
Yeah, no, I don't have it handy, but it starts with, you know, community is number one. Mm-hmm. And then service. And then we address, I'm sorry, but you kind of put me on the spot right here. But yeah,
you know, we can pause right now and get you to get it. I mean, is that what you want? We can pause and have you. I want the listeners to learn from it, not necessarily to say gotcha or anything, but for them to learn from what you guys did. So we can pause right now and give you a chance to bring it back. So yeah, go ahead. Share the values.
So yeah, so we addressed our values, and our values, you know, it starts with community. You know, community is number one, because we want to make sure that people, you know, feel a sense of belonging when they step into our doors. And then service is what we do. So we want to make sure that whoever we hire has this strong sense of serving other people.
Yeah.
The third value is authenticity, because I want to make sure that people here are, they understand that they're in a safe space. They're not being judged. You know, I want people who are here, they're real. You know, I don't want any fake, you know, values here. The fourth value is integrity. I want people who work for me to have that integrity. And I want people to know that, you know, our employees and employees themselves, they want to know that they have integrity. All right. Then responsibility is the next value. Because we believe that being responsible gives us a freedom to choose. And in choosing and owning our choices, we become empowered in the pursuit of happiness, yeah. Right? And then following that is impeccability, you know, because by being impeccable, you know, it begins with a deliberate and precise decision. And it is sustained through discipline, right? Because all we do here, you know, yoga, CrossFit, cycle, it's a discipline. And all we're doing is teaching people habits. If people want to be healthy, if they want to live better lives, they want to have strong habits. So, you know, impeccability is a very strong value. It takes a lot of discipline to be impeccable.
Yeah, and I'm curious too. Back then, this idea of putting, you know, locking everybody in the room and, you know, for 2 to 3 days and figuring it out, where did that come from?
Well, I had read some books, and I've been really impressed by Disney before. Disney is kind of has always been in the backdrop of my life. You know, I wanted to come to the U.S. because back when I was a child, my parents didn't have the money to send me to Disney. And, you know, I remember reading a book on Disney and how they lead their, you know, how transformational, you know, a Disney experience is, but more importantly, the behind the scenes on Disney. So a lot of what we do here at Dancing Mind comes from that magical experience that Disney provides.
I get that, and I can see how, you know, wanting to, you know, especially since it's an experiential business we are in, wanting to look at, okay, what are some businesses out there that are known for giving good experience and trying to model after that. So back then, what were the other steps you took to systematize the business? I think during the pre-interview you mentioned something about creating delivery systems. So that was one of the first things. Go ahead, talk about that.
So after we addressed our values, you know, and people had kind of a map, you know, to go through and deliver our processes, then we addressed our delivery systems. It's how do we do things, you know? So the delivery systems here, you know, safety is number one, cleanliness is number two, people is number three. So that's how we do it. So it's kind of an easy X, Y, and Z of what it looks like, how we do things and how it's delivered, you know, so employees get it. Okay, this is what I have to do when I am in front of a person. I have to provide them safety. I have to, you know, the environment needs to be clean. And, you know, the employees here, they have to be the best.
And was this delivery system more like rules on, or like a framework on what that they have to follow? Or was it like explicit step-by-step, do this, do that, like procedures? I'm just wondering what it was or what it is.
it's kind of follows when you put it together. So the mission leads to the values leads to the pillars lead to the delivery systems. So again, it goes back for the overall system becomes, is put together by smaller systems. So our delivery system, you know, tells people, how we're going to deliver safety, mm-hmm. and how we're going to deliver cleanliness, right? So those are the, we came to those because those are the most important things that affect how we deliver our services to people. So they're almost like a quality check, in our services and the experience that our customers get from us. So we had to put a system around how we deliver our services. So that's where the delivery systems come in.
And back then, how did you prioritize the other steps to take? As in, how did you decide which systems or processes to first create first and so on and so forth?
Going back to Disney, I researched a lot of the way that they do, and I read a lot of books about Disney. So I kind of, one of the books that we use here at my company is called Welcome into the Magic Kingdom. I don't know if you know that book.
I don't know. I think you mentioned it during the pre-interview, but we're going to talk about it. But go ahead. Say your point.
So Welcome into the Magic Kingdom is a very, broad, every single employee reads that book, and it talks about how Disney kind of, makes the backdrop of their business. So it's an experience it's the experience that Disney delivers. And then from there, we used Be My Guest, which is another book that talks about the detailed processes and how Disney implements each single process in their business.
It was very Disney influenced. I like that. I have to check out those books myself. And back then, how exactly did you even document the procedures and processes? What tools did you use? I think during the pre-interview, you mentioned something about writing it all down. How did you do that?
Yeah, so we, Microsoft Word, very simple, straightforward, went to town on writing. And we documented every single thing that we do here.
That's awesome. And I guess this question now is really, at the time when you were, working on systematizing and automating business, what books did you or even mentors had influence on you? And I think so far you've mentioned several Disney books. Were there other books?
Yes. We also, to address the mission and the values, I recommend Simon Sinek start with the why.
Oh, Simon Sinek, Start With Why. Okay, yeah.
That's a great book. It talks about, how we should really think about the why we're doing things, not the how.
Yeah.
The how comes from the why. It's kind of a natural process.
Yeah.
But we need to address the why. Why do we do it? Right? And be very passionate about doing that.
And so even back then, while you were, making the changes to the business, I'm wondering, what was the biggest challenge that you experienced when you initially tried to create systems for the business, and how did you even solve them?
Well, the biggest challenge is that once you have systems in place, you have to implement them, right?
So yeah.
Because systems are nothing if you don't bring them alive.
Yeah.
So the biggest challenge was implementing them and getting the employees on board. And, a lot of the we were lucky that a lot of our employees stayed with us, but some employees we had to let them go, or they naturally exit the company on their own because it wasn't a good fit. But we have to, and that takes time. It doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
So you have to go, I think the challenge of an entrepreneur is to how do you address change without stopping the business from generating, you know, cash flow, you know, without breaking the business?
Yeah, making a change on the fly while the thing is still working.
Yeah. So you, it's a whole entire balance, and you have to determine what speed you as a business owner you're comfortable with taking, you know, and just do them, you know, carefully and thoughtfully.
During the pre-interview, you also mentioned another challenge itself was writing down every single process. Talk about that and how you solved it.
So writing, you know, I knew that I had to write our systems down. And I think that I couldn't do both things, you know, run the business and come up with ideas. So at that time, I knew that I had to hire someone that I trusted, someone that shared the same views that I shared, that understood my position. And so I hired this person to work for me, and she's been with me for almost a year now. And but it's someone that I fully trust, and she, you know, I had to pay premium for this person. And I think it's
like a detailed oriented person that could take the vision that you have, but actually put it to paper and make it, you know, the fill out and put out all the details in it.
Correct. Yes.
I like that. Go ahead.
And had that system-oriented mindset.
Yeah. Is it because you were more coming from a creative standpoint and you needed that person that can, you know, write out all the details of the systematic person to just put all the missing pieces together?
Well, it goes back to the point, I cannot be the only person doing everything. So yes, I can write the systems down. I'm really good with writing as well, but it's like, do I want to spend my time doing that?
Yeah. You know,
right? I think that there are more valuable things for me to do versus, you know, staying inside of a room writing. So at that point, you have to make a decision and say, okay, it is worth for me to, you know, spend this extra money to hire this person to go and inside of a room and write everything. But for those key people, you do have to pay them extra, you know, and they will deliver for you.
Another challenge you mentioned was that, you know, making sure that the front of the house and the customer experience was not being affected. Talk about that.
Yes. So when you're implementing the systems, it's important that, like I said, the business doesn't break down. So, you know, one of our challenges was to make sure that we were implementing the systems without jeopardizing the quality of what we were delivering. That, as a matter of fact, that the quality of what we were delivering was higher compared to before. And that is an art.
Yeah, given all the challenges that you mentioned earlier, I mean, why did you even stay committed to the goal of systematizing your business?
Because it's just so much easier now. Like, everything is so, you know, right now we're just bringing someone in. We brought, I think, 4 people into the company the last month. And it's so huge satisfaction, and putting them inside of a bedroom of a room here during their employee orientation and saying, please write this down. And literally our orientation book, you know, it's hundreds of pages long, but they have something that they're being held accountable. Besides, it's, you know, HR-wise, it's so important to make sure that, you know, your employees have things in writing. It's just like my life is a lot easier, you know, now that we have systems rather than before.
And so, you know, we've talked about how you, you know, took steps to systematize the business. At what point in time did you feel like, were you able to systematize the entire business and have it run without you successfully? I think you mentioned during the pre-interview sometime that you achieved this goal sometime in November last year.
Yes, by November last year, we had finished the major processes, writing down the major processes and manuals in place. So at that point, I felt that we were starting to have a lot of room, you know, to breathe again. So it was November of last year.
I think you also mentioned that during the pre-interview about how at that point you were able to bring in two new key people and were able to give them the manual and say, okay, go ahead and work based on these manuals we've created, and you were able to get the results that you wanted, right?
Yeah, so we brought in, like I said, about four people.
Oh, even this, four, okay.
Yeah, we brought in four people total this month, and two of them are full-time and two of them are key people. We brought in a marketing manager. Mm-hmm. And we brought in a salesperson, and, you know, we basically gave them each two different manuals and said, okay, welcome, you know, read
have
this, have at it, and this is what I expect of you. And it was just so much more efficient, and they were happier too, because they're like, okay, I know what I'm doing. You know, people get satisfaction. People want structure. So the employees were really happy, and I was happy because I didn't have to be here babysitting them. Yes, I had to be around to make sure that they were doing what they're supposed to do, but I didn't have to be here, you know, every day. And I was able to like tend to other things that were more important than that as well. So that's really awesome.
Yeah. So let's give the listener kind of like a behind the scenes into your business to see, you know, what are the different parts of your business and what specific systems you have in each part. So I guess let me use this analogy. Think of your business like a conveyor belt. On one end is, you know, somebody who's trying to get healthy and get in a better shape. And at the other end of that conveyor belt is that person. Now they're, you know, physically healthy and everything, and they're out there raving and talking about your business, telling everybody about, you know, your gym. And in between that conveyor belt is a bunch of different parts and systems working together behind the scenes in your business to allow that transformation to happen. So let's talk about, take the listener behind the scenes. What's happening?
Sure. So we're an experience, we're in fitness, but in fitness, it's really, we're in the experience industry here. Mm-hmm. So from the minute the customer enters our doors, they're expecting an experience. We're in the DC area, which is where customers expect
high
the
scale
best.
Service. Yes,
high scale service. So we first and foremost, our front desk is number one. So we have processes behind our front desk that tell our front desk people, this is what you wear, this is how you greet people, this is how you smile, this is what you say, this is what you answer when you pick up the phone. This is we have two different paths. We have a new student conveyor belt, you could call it that way. And
yeah,
then we have a repeat student conveyor belt. So
yeah,
if we bring in someone new, you know, they're going to be getting, you know, a walk, you know, a, hi, how are you? Check in over here. Let me take you through a tour of the studio.
The facility, yeah.
Let me show you, you know, where the locker rooms are, where the bathrooms are, and let me introduce you to the teacher. Let me introduce you to a couple of new students. So we want to make them feel at home, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's number one. We want to, you know, right there, make sure that they belong. So that's our new student conveyor belt. And then we have our regular student, our repeat student conveyor belt. And in that, it's like, hey, so-and-so, and we know their names, we know what they want, we know if they want to water every time, we know it, you know, we want to know that person, so we know if they have a kid, we know if they have a husband, we know, you know, where they work, so that connection is really important. So that's first connection is really important. We know if they like to swipe their cards in versus writing their names down.
With the repeat customers, you're also trying to make sure that you're touching base with them to make sure that they're actually achieving the goals they came there in the first place for, right?
Yeah. So at one point, you know, we talk to them. Are you happy? You know, can I enroll you into another workshop? Are you thinking about, you know, doing this thing that's coming up on this weekend. So there's that ongoing conversation, you know. Behind the scenes, we have, right now we're running a challenge. So we keep, the leaderboards. So we have the name of every single person who is doing the challenge with us. So, and they're looking at the results that they're getting as well.
Yeah.
We have, out in social media, we have ways for people to stay connected. We have subgroups of our big group in social media as well, so that we're, the instructors are speaking to students. So there's like multiple ways in which we manage the experience. But the most important thing is that even though the experience happens when they walk in here, the experience doesn't end when they leave here.
Yeah. You also mentioned an example where you went even all the way to talk about the experience they get with the lavender towels at the, when they come to the gym. Talk about that. I want you to share that with the listeners.
Sure. So we have, like I said, we have systems for everything. And we, we even have a system for how we deliver the lavender towels. We, know exactly how many droplets of lavender towels of lavender goes into the mix.
Yeah.
The towels, how they're folded. But, it is a laborious task, but it has to be done with, again, with that impeccability, right? That impeccability there, because there can be lavender oil is really expensive. So if we didn't have a system for that,
I just overuse it.
Well, so, but seriously, we had that issue. We had that issue of people were like dumping lavender oil inside of the water and then folding the towels, and then that goes into people's eyes and we're getting a reaction for it. So it's like really, it's like we have systems on where things are filed, what is emailed from person A to person B. But at the end, even though it seems like it's so much to go through writing those systems down, it makes our lives so much easier, right?
Yeah, I agree with you. And why I wanted to share that story about the lavender towels is that, you want to deliver an experience to somebody. Someone has to actually take the time to create what that experience will be like and then draft how to deliver that experience. And I'm glad you shared that with the listener. So, what systems have you set up in place that enables the employees to know exactly what they need to do? I think during the pre-interview, you talked about you have manuals for everything, like 600-page document. Talk about that.
Yep. Yeah, we have manuals for everything. We have an HR manual. We call it our employee rule book. And then we have our way of being, which describes how people need to show up.
Yeah.
From like dress code all the way down to attitude. We have a marketing manual. We have a HR manual.
A manual for every single role that you have, basically.
Yep.
Wow.
We have
I like
a manual
that.
For every single thing that we do.
And how did you, how do you track and verify the results that your employees deliver?
Well, numbers, right? At the end of the day, we are for profit company, but even, nonprofits, we have to, it's numbers. It's the numbers of students walking through the door. It's the, the revenue that we're getting. It's the, the net profit at the end of the day. It's also employees' happiness
and customer satisfaction, I'm assuming, as well.
Absolutely. Well, customer satisfaction is a natural result, right?
Yeah. And you mentioned that you guys have a weekly sales meeting and quarterly all hands meeting. Talk about that.
Yeah, so we meet every week. We have a weekly sales meeting, and then we also meet on a quarterly basis. We have an all-hands staff meeting. We're actually preparing for it right now, in which we review, results with all of our staff, the results for the quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And we address what needs to be, corrected and how we're going to correct. So employees are part of the solution.
That's awesome.
Which is very important.
Yeah, and so, you know, we've kind of showed the listener, you know, how you systematize the business and where the business is now. And, you know, with all this free time that you have, you know, which areas of the business do you focus on now and why?
Well, right now I'm focused on on the behind the scenes of making the business better, not so much better, but more efficient, and addressing our performance.
You're focusing on like trying to scale it even more, I guess.
Exactly, just trying to scale and making sure that our, you know, this location here in Falls Church is working really well. So we have some big goals, and
Have big goals. So like, what is the next stage of growth for the business, and probably what do you plan to achieve next, and why?
Sure. So then, for the next, you know, 1 to 2 years, is that we, you know, we grow in this location and we maximize our revenue in this location, and then after that is perhaps opening another 1 to 2 spaces here in the Washington area.
Just opening a new space?
For now, just opening a space.
Okay.
But at the same time, it's, you know, looking for investors who are interested in investing on a brand as strong as ours.
Wow. That just shows like the value of systematizing the business is that, you know, when you get to this level, you can start going the route of scaling and trying to build out even more on your own, or even getting investors, or maybe even potentially franchising. But you can't even do any of that until the business can run without you.
Correct. Yeah. So you can take a step back and the business becomes a lot more valuable when you don't have to be, you know, doing everything yourself.
Yeah.
Your business is not valuable if you're in it.
And so can we kind of, as we round up, can we kind of summarize the entire process or step that the listeners should take in order to go ahead to transform their business so it runs successfully without them? I think the first step you mentioned when we summarized it earlier was define your mission.
Correct. The first one is define your mission. And then number 2 is define your values.
Go on.
And then number 2 is define your values.
Yeah.
And then number 3 is define your delivery systems. You know, how do you keep your checks and balances and what you're doing, you know?
Yeah.
Your experience, your products. What is it that you're delivering?
Yeah.
And then after that, hire to the mission and hire to the values. So only bring the people who are in line, you know, and have the integrity to maintain the mission and the values.
Wow. Go ahead.
And then after that, document every single process. And then make sure that people are following those processes. And then my last one is step out of the way.
Wow, I like that. And so what would you say is the very next step that the listener who's been listening to this interview all the way to this point should take in order to get started with transforming their business?
Well, I think that the number one is to make the right tools in place. And if they don't have the right tools in place, they don't know where to start. Hiring a coach or finding a mentor who has done it before.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good point. And I'm curious, are there any questions that you wish that I asked you during this interview that would add more value to it that I didn't ask you? If so, you know, say the question and the answers.
No, I think that you covered. You had a lot of really great questions and you covered a lot of it. So, is there anything else that you'd like to ask?
No, I was asking just to see if I didn't touch anything. And that's good news to know that we covered everything. So that's a testament to the pre-interview and everything we do. So
the one thing is just to make sure, I think that very important going back to, you know, hiring to the mission is to have a really good hiring system.
Wow, I like that. And so what is the best way for the listener to connect with you and thank you for doing the interview?
Sure. So they can find me at paula@dancingmind.com. I'd be happy to connect with people further if people have any questions. I'd be, you know, interested in answering and helping in any way that I can. Paula at dancingmind.com.
Just so that the transcriber can hear that clearly, is Paula at dancingmind. Dancingmind.
Yeah, dancing. D-A-N-C-I-N-G. Mind.
Yeah.
MIND.com. And our website is dancingmind.com.
And I'm speaking to you, the listener, now. So thanks for listening to the interview so far. And if you've enjoyed this interview so far, I want you to leave us your honest feedback, hopefully a positive review on iTunes. To do that, go to sweetprocess.com/iTunes. And if you have an Android phone, you can go ahead and leave us a review on the Stitcher app. And you can do that by going to sweetprocess.com/Stitcher. And so if you know another entrepreneur who will find this interview useful, I want you to share with them. And finally, if you are at that point in your business where you're tired of being the bottleneck and you want to get everything out of your head so that you can document step by step how you get tasks done so your employees know what you know, well, sign up for a free 14-day trial of Sweet Process. Paula, thanks for doing the interview.
Before you go, we want to leave you with a free gift. Get your free systemization checklist. Avoid wasting valuable time documenting procedures for the wrong tasks. Get it right the first time with the systemization checklist. Download the checklist by going to sweetprocess.com/checklist.